This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. You don't become a doctor by watching Grey's Anatomy. It takes years of pre-med and med school study, at least a year-long internship, and depending on one's specialty, residencies, fellowships, and board certification. Some med students are adding theater to the mix, giving students the chance to think on their feet by simulating interactions with patients and colleagues played by actors. Elizabeth Zimmer is not a medical patient. She just plays one for aspiring and practicing doctors. She wrote in The Village Voice about the experience of playing sick. And Elizabeth, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us about the origins of this objective, structured clinical examination process.
Well, it started basically about 50 years ago. It was developed by a man named Dr. Howard Barrows, who was at the University of Southern California and then moved to Southern Illinois University. He saw a need for medical students to learn to think on their feet. You know, it's one thing to be really good at stuff that you're studying in books and filling out exams, but when you're confronted with a human being who's telling you stuff but is not very forthcoming, you have a job, which is to communicate with that person and get the news, you know, figure out what is really going on.
And you point out in your article that this also has become practice because of malpractice suits.
Yes, I asked Dr. Mark Schwartz, who directs one of the two programs that I work for as a standardized patient in New York City, why this matters so much to medical education. And he said that the problem is not so much that they make medical mistakes, but that malpractice suits are based on a failure of doctor-patient communication. It's not that the doctors didn't know enough, he said. It's that they didn't communicate well enough with their patients.
So one of the places that they learn to do this better is at the wonderfully named New York Simulation Center. What do they do there exactly?
Well, they have a big suite with about 25 examination rooms, identical examination rooms that have two doors. And then there's a green room, which is where the actors hang out when they're not on duty. And then there's a great big control room with a lot of video monitors. And the actors sit in their exam rooms, one in each room. And depending on what time of year it is and what exactly is going on, either a group of medical students or a group of resident physicians, people who've already graduated from medical school, but NYU in particular has a kind of continuing education program that keeps testing their resident physicians on new situations that are developing. The doctors come in, they knock on the door, come in, and they ask the patient what the patient is doing there. And the patient, who is a working actor and has been given not a script exactly, but a history of the situation that has led them to be in that examining room that day, tells the doctor why they're there. And then the doctor and the patient have an interaction. And while that is going on, a member of the medical school faculty is standing in the big main hallway watching the whole thing through a one-way mirror. And after 10 or 15 minutes, they call time on it. When they call time, the doctors sit down, the standardized patients go out the front door, and the medical school faculty who've been watching through the one-way glass come into the room and give direct feedback to their charges. These are people who are in their classes and on their supervisory list. And the standardized patients go out in the hall, sit down at a computer, and fill out a checklist evaluating how well they think the doctor did.
So you do this, or others do this, a lot of actors, as you mentioned, do this to earn a little extra scratch. How much can you make?
The place we're talking about, the Sim Center, pays about $25 an hour. If you do something that requires penetration of various bodily orifices, they will pay you more. I have been paid $40 an hour to lie on an examining table with my chest exposed while young resident physicians are trained in the use of new medical devices for exploring the heart. And it's interesting because this is basically very easy work. You just lie there. They'll also pay you to go into one of their clinics and meet with real doctors who do not know that you are a fake patient. This is the mystery shopper scenario, yes?
Yes.
So you have to go there and give your name to the receptionist and then wait for your appointment. Sometimes you wait 2.5 hours. And that's something they want to find out about their clinic. You know, are they keeping people waiting 2.5 hours? That's not a good idea. But I got paid $25 an hour to read magazines in the waiting room.
We're talking about Faking It with Elizabeth Zimmer. She's an arts writer and dance critic. She wrote in The Village Voice about playing a sick patient for simulated doctor's visits for training medical students and also for practicing doctors. Elizabeth, as with all New York experiences of a certain era, this has been covered on Seinfeld. Kramer really played it up in this role of a fake patient. He turned down the lights, he lit a cigarette, and told the interns there about the nature of his malady.
And so we danced, and I burned for her. Much like the burning during urination that I would experience soon afterwards.
Gonorrhea!
Gonorrhea!
You told us a number of actors do this. Is high drama encouraged?
You're given some guidelines about the nature of your personality, the nature of your symptoms, and you're encouraged to be as realistic as you possibly can be. I think what Kramer did there is not encouraged. First of all, you wouldn't get to smoke in the examining room. Secondly, you generally only do this in front of one doctor at a time, one medical student or one resident physician at a time. You don't have groups like that.
But I'm also wondering about in the regular simulation. I mean, you know you're acting. They know you're acting. It's kind of an inauthentic setup.
You know, when it first started, I thought it was artificial and kind of a waste of time. But as they keep making us do it month by month, year by year, by the end of it, you find out ways that it's really, really useful. One of the doctors that I interviewed when I was writing this story was saying that the first time he was interviewing a patient who had a lung problem, when he found out that the patient was a smoker, he kind of lit into the patient. And he realized later that that's not the way to proceed. You don't want to embarrass the patient. You don't want to make the patient feel bad. You want to be a partner of the patient in improving behavior so that you improve the health, right? And he would not have been able to figure that out without the feedback that he got from the fake patient after the encounter. Mm.
Elizabeth, thank you for speaking with us.
Sure. You're very welcome.
Elizabeth Zimmer, she's a dance critic and arts writer and contributor to The Village Voice, where she wrote about the experience of playing sick to train med students. You'll find a link to read the article at wordofmouthradio.org.